Hear me? So, yes, as Andy's just prayed, I have taken migraine medication. I've been in a bit of a bad way this morning, so my head is a bit spaced out. We've got a title, From Bad to Worse. We've got a really tricky passage to cover. And we've got a bottle of gin. What could possibly go wrong? What could go wrong? You'll understand where that's... We'll come to that in a few minutes. If you want to know what the gin's about, sit and listen. Okay, so we are in 2 Peter, and it was funny. We were working out the teaching schedule for the next few weeks a few weeks ago, and got to, well, when can I do? Well, I was like, well, we're away on the 29th, and I'm doing worship on the 22nd, and we've got the picnic on the 8th, and I'm speaking on the 1st, and okay, well, we'll speak on the 15th. Didn't look at the passage that I was going to be speaking on. And so Andy sent me a message saying, have you read the passage that you've agreed to? yeah, okay, I'll speak on Psalm 23, and we'll have done. But anyway, so it's a not so easy passage to get our heads around, so I'm going to read it. And then we're going to see what God has got to say to us from that this morning, okay? We can't skirt past the tough stuff. Okay. So 2 Peter 2, starting at the second half of verse 10. These people are proud and arrogant, daring even to scoff at supernatural beings without so much as trembling. But the angels, who are far greater in power and strength, do not dare to bring from the Lord a charge of blasphemy against those supernatural beings. Are you with me? Okay. Glad we've all got that one. Right. These false teachers are like unthinking animals, creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed. They scoff at things they do not understand, and like animals, they will be destroyed. Their destruction is their reward for the harm they have done. They love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. They are a disgrace and a stain among you. They delight in deception, even as they eat with you in your fellowship meals. They commit adultery with their eyes. Their desire for sin is never satisfied. They lure unstable people into sin, and they're well trained in greed. They live under God's curse. They've wandered off the right road and have followed the footsteps of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved to earn money by doing wrong. But Balaam was stopped from his mad course when his donkey rebuked him with a human voice. You still with me? These people are as useless and dried up springs or as mist blown away by the wind. They're doomed to blackest darkness. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting. With an appeal to twisted sexual desires, they lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. And when people escape from wickedness of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then get tangled up and enslaved by sin again, they are worse off than before. It would be better if they had never known the way to righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. They prove the truth of this proverb, a dog returns to its vomit. And another says, a washed pig returns to the mud. So, reflecting on Psalm 23. no, it's not a fairy tale passage. And it's tackling some difficult stuff. The earlier part of chapter 2, he's talking about... So the whole chapter really is about false teachers. So people who have leadership responsibility, people who teach and are people of influence. Modern, you know, first century influencers. We have some influencers in the room. But these people are influencers, and they are doing so living lives that are not the lives God intended them to live. People with influence. So this second half of the passage, the first half was around deception into false teaching and wrong doctrine. And this half is around people who are in that position of responsibility and whose lives demonstrate that they believe you can follow Jesus but keep doing whatever you fancy. Now, they're not just people who are, like, we all are human and we make mistakes. From time to time, people mess up, people do sinful things, and but these are people who are totally given over to living as if they hadn't been rescued from a life of sin. People who are not surrendered to the lordship of Jesus. And people who truly misunderstand what grace and freedom are. Blurring the distinction between the life God wants us to live and the lives we once lived. There should be, and Paul covers this in Colossians 3:1-17, and we're going to finish off this morning by reading that passage. It's really helpful in the distinctions that it draws between who we were and who we are becoming in Christ. And I want us to, before we get to that passage, just to spend a few minutes reflecting on a really important principle or a really important distinction that I think will help us to get this passage and understand what Peter's talking about here. Okay, really important distinction. And if you don't remember anything else from this morning's talk, remember this. Because we talk about grace a lot, don't we? We're passionate about the concept of grace. We are here because of God's grace, God's riches at Christ's expense, God's righteousness handed to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. But I want us to understand a really important thing about grace. Grace is freedom from sin. Grace is not freedom to sin. Do you get that? Really important distinction. Grace is about freedom from sin. It is not about freedom to sin. It's about God's righteousness being imputed to us because of what Jesus did on the cross. And we understand, don't we, that it is impossible for us to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We can't make ourselves righteous. We can't make ourselves holy in God's sight. It is impossible. And that was the purpose of the cross. Grace means that we are lifted and given the opportunity and the power to choose life. We're given the opportunity to step away from our old ways of living, to step away from the bondages of sin and step into freedom and choose life. Jesus purchased our freedom. And in verse 10, let's have a look at where it was, because we'll come to this concept again in a minute. He says here, where are we? They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. We really do have the opportunity, the power, through the cross, through God's grace, to let go of our fallenness and actually have the opportunity to live out God's best for us without being held back or vandalized by sin. We can't lift ourselves out of our fallen condition. The purpose of the cross, the purpose of God's grace, the purpose of why he came and rolled up his sleeves and got involved in the mess, the purpose of his sacrifice and his death and his resurrection is so that we can live free from sin. Our new life is a miracle that was bought by Jesus and by his sacrifice. It's a miracle. We can live free from sin. Now, Paul says also in Galatians 5:1, says since we, in fact, let me find that. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. This is where some confusion can come in. We're free from sin. We're free. We're forgiven. And God's grace says, you're in. You're invited into God's presence. Your sin issue has been dealt with. It no longer is counted against you. And you no longer have to get yourselves lifted. I'm going to lift you into a new place. So we're free from sin. And we're free from the law. Which means that actually a lot of the rules, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rules that the people under the Old Testament had to live by, they no longer apply to our lives. We have freedom. But I want us to think about for a few minutes, what does freedom mean? Because Peter is saying here, these false prophets promise you freedom, but actually they're leading you into slavery. So what do we mean when we say we're no longer bound by or caught up by the law? You know, it says we're slaves to whatever controls us. What does it mean to be free from the law and to be free from sin? So the sin is no longer an issue. It's no longer counted against us. And we no longer have the oppressive list of rules and regulations that we have to follow. We're invited into life in the Spirit, which does give us freedom. But what does freedom mean? So here, I've got a box of shortbread. I just thought there's some easy things to use as an illustration. Now, I like shortbread. I'm free to decide that from now on, I'm only going to eat shortbread. I'm just going to eat shortbread. I love shortbread, so I'm just going to eat it. Now, how well do you think that's going to go for me? You know, 10 boxes of shortbread a day. I mean, to be honest, I mean, we won't go into too much detail, but I imagine that it's going to fill up and up and up and up and up because I can't imagine this easily coming out the other end, right? So, I get all bunged up. Right, it's not going to go well for me if I decide I'm free to eat as much shortbread as I like. Is that going to go well for me if I just eat 10 boxes of shortbread for the rest of my life? No. I'm free to drink gin. I don't mind the odd gin and tonic. For some people, it wouldn't be helpful for them to ever even touch a gin and tonic, and therefore you mustn't, right? For me, I can have a gin and tonic. Now, if I decided I'm going to drink a whole bottle of gin every day for the rest of my life, is that freedom? Let's just lift the lid off. Let's be free. Be yourself. Express yourself. Do whatever pleases you. Do whatever makes you happy. If I drink a bottle of gin a day, is that going to go well for me? Am I free to drink a bottle of gin a day? But is that going to go well for me? No, it's not. My life, I'm going to drink it for the rest of my life, but my life probably wouldn't go on an awfully long time. I've got my phone here. I could easily access anything I like on here. Could watch whatever I want. I could watch naughty stuff on here. Say I do that for 15 minutes. Now, am I going to get struck by a bolt of lightning? No. Does God still love me? Yes. Can I have access still to God's unconditional love and his grace? Yes. Am I potentially heading for trouble? Yes. Don't let your freedom rob you of your freedom. Walking down the road with a toddler. You're all familiar with the concept, probably many of you will be anyway, walking down the road with a toddler and they're tearing around. The A4, you know, is back open again, and so it's just crazy cars belting up and down all the time. And they're running around, and you want them on that side. You know, the road's there, you want them over there. I want you on that side of me. But I want to go on that side of me. Oh, but I want to on that side of me. Get over, get over. If I want to offer my daughter, who is two, youngest, freedom to do what she wants and just go, well, it's your decision then. Off you go. We're heading for total disaster. I'm free to go and stand in the middle of the A34. I would be stupid for doing so, wouldn't I? You see, Jesus paid for us to live free and to live safe, which means that we're not free to do whatever we want. And that's because freedom, and if you're listening, I'm using quotation marks with my index finger and middle finger. Freedom is not really freedom. God, thinking about the toddler, wants you far from the curb. He doesn't want you running off into the A4. He wants you far from the curb. And these false teachers are promising you freedom by saying, well, it's all paid for. It's all done. So just live however you like. Do this and God will forgive you. Do this and it's fine. God is a God of forgiveness and God is a God who will pour out grace on you. Supposing I get in my car and I'm like, I've had enough. Now, I don't want to make... Please hear me, and what I'm about to say is a serious illustration, okay? That I help you to understand something. I don't want to make light of what I'm about to say. But supposing I want to get in the car, I'm like, I've had enough. I'm going to drive down to Durdledore. I'm going to go to that tallest cliff and I'm going to run off. Right? And all the way down the A34 and the M27, M3, M27, God's saying, don't do it. Don't. And I'm like, I'm just going anyway. So I get there, pull up the car, go off, and run towards the cliff, right? And as I'm running towards the cliff, God's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. I love you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're of value. You have a place. You have purpose. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I go, woo, and I jump. And as I'm going, right, I say, God, I'm sorry. Does God's grace reach me? Yes. Is God's unconditional love over my life? Yes. Is God's forgiveness there for me? Yes. Do I belong to him? Yes. Can I float? No. Okay? And the choices that we make have consequences. The choices that we make can lead us into difficulty, can lead us into conflict, can lead us into heartache, pain, corruption, can lead us into bondage and slavery. And it's the slavery that Jesus gave his life to free us from. Why would we do it? Thing is the devil is a vandal. Like, he really is a vandal. But he makes it smell like roses sometimes, especially at the thin end of the wedge. Ooh, and it's alluring, and it draws you, and then it draws you a bit more, and the next thing you know, it's taken over your thinking, and then it takes over where your feet go, and then it takes over your lifestyle. You can't do whatever you please, because we're invited into a life of freedom, and a life of freedom is a life that is surrendered to Jesus. And this is a matter of trust, okay? It's a matter of trust. Do I believe that God loves me? Do I believe, like, you know, you can have this conflict. Oh, you know, you're such a killjoy. Do I actually believe that God loves me, that he designed me, and he knows what is best for me? Because if you can really trust that, then surrendering to him is a little bit easier. Doesn't mean to say that if you're in captivity, that you don't need people around you to help you to get free and to step into a new way of living. Surrender to Jesus and his love. Freedom what got written. I've got written things written down on here and forgotten all about it, and I think they were interesting sayings. Picture a kite that's flying because it gets caught by the wind. If you let go of the strings, that kite's coming down because the things that ground it are the things that cause it to be able to fly. So if the kite thinks freedom is freedom from strings, the kite can't fly. Does that make sense? And actually, our connection to God, our listening to him, our saying yes to him and saying no to everything else is actually what causes us to be able to soar. And the question is, am I going to make room in my life for the things that have the potential to ruin my life? Or am I going to run a million miles from them? And am I going to run into God's grace, into God's goodness, and into his love? A few little things from Paul. And actually, I think perhaps Paul says things in a slightly easier way to understand than perhaps Peter does in this passage. Sorry, I've got more and more into the habit of flicking around my phone. And it's a relatively new Bible. It's not so easy to do. Right, Philippians 1:6. This is Paul speaking. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day that Christ Jesus returns. He will complete his work within us. That takes our participation with him. Sanctification. Remember that old saying, I've met too many cantankerous old Christians to believe that sanctification is a foregone conclusion. It's a choice that we make. I want to become more like Jesus. I want to pick up my cross and follow him. I want to lay down the things of my sinful nature. I want to lay down the things that hold me back so that I can run freely with him. I'm not going to live the lie or believe the lie that freedom is doing whatever I please. Freedom is doing what he wants for me. Freedom is surrender. Freedom is laying down of self. Hebrews 12. So Hebrews 11, the writer is writes some amazing things about the heroes of faith. And how they carry the baton, so to speak, how they carry the message of God's kingdom, the message of God's love through the generations. And then he or she says, and now the baton is in our hands. Now it's our turn. So we come into chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off. Oh, sorry, it carries on. That's why you should never just take half a verse and make it say what you want to say. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. The champion who initiates and perfects. Remember that Philippians 1:6? I'm convinced that God will complete the work that he has begun in us. Our salvation, our justification, our redemption, our being brought near to God miraculously is a work of God's Spirit, and our being transformed into God's likeness, our letting go of the old stuff, our sanctification is a work of God's Spirit. And it's all about surrendering to him, allowing him to speak into our lives, allowing his word to fill us, allowing his spirit to be at work. so that we can step into freedom. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he's seated in the place of honor at God's throne. Let's strip off every weight that slows us down and the sin that so easily trips us up. Romans 12, verse 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Let's just reflect on that for a minute. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. In the Old Testament, Hebrew, the word repentance that we translate to repentance was essentially to turn 180 degrees. The New Testament, repentance, the Greek word means to change your mind. Talking about and thinking about the illustration of, you know, walking out into the A4 or being onto the grass bank, where God wants to bring transformation is in the way that we think, because the way that we think and the things that we dwell on actually begin to fuel the way that we behave and the places we go and the things that we say and the things that we do. Nobody woke up one morning and thought, do you know what, I'm going to go and get some heroin and, you know, inject it into my groin. You know, that's not where it starts. It starts in the very little thinking that comes into your mind and allowing God to change the way that you think, surrendering our thinking, surrendering our desires, surrendering our thought life to the Holy Spirit is the start of seeing transformation in everything that we do, in everywhere that we go, in the way that we live. Get onto the grass bank. Say, God, I'd want to be as far away from danger as possible. Will you transform the way that I think? Help me, Lord, to lay down the stuff of my past, to let go of my fallenness, to recognize that freedom is not just the freedom to do whatever I want. It's not a free-for-all. It's freedom for everyone, but it's not free-for-all. To really get a hold of the reality that returning to my old way of life, Peter uses a horrible picture, horrible image here. And let's just get it, because sometimes we think that sin smells of roses. And he says, returning to our lifestyle of sin is like a dog that vomits in the street and then goes back to lick it up. Picture that. Please just close your eyes and picture it, because I want you to get a hold of how horrible sin is, how destructive it is, and how free we are from it. Okay, so I said we were heading to Colossians 3. We did a series on this actually back in 2020, and because it was during COVID, there'll be videos online of this this series if you want to watch. So it's this verses 1 to 17. Of Colossians 3. This is Paul. And you know, I said there's this blurring of the distinction between who we were and who God wants us to be. Well, this really helps us, because this gives us a bit of a naughty list. And then, you know, it's not like you mustn't do this. It's like, this is what it looks like if you're living according to your sinful nature. And this is what it looks like if you're living according to the Spirit. So, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Wow. So, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, eating shortbread biscuits and the like, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. But because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is time to get rid of anger and rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed. Now listen to this. This is beautiful. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. Wow. Maybe that's our motto text for next year. Learn. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful passage that paints a picture of what life can be like when we live drawing on your strength and on your power, living surrendered to your love. What life can look like when we say yes to you and no to the stuff that so easily trips us up. I thank you, Lord, that in this place and in your presence, there is no shame. There is a full understanding from your heart, Lord, that sin easily trips us up. And so, Lord, today we come before you, confessing, Lord, that we are a needy people, confessing that we fail you, confessing, Lord, that we desperately, desperately need your grace. You know that we can't pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and that's why you came. I thank you that you came to bring freedom, to bring new life, to bring hope, to put us on a good path and help us, Lord, to become like you. That, Lord, we would get to know you and become like you. We pray, Lord, for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit over your church. Lord, we say that we need you. You're the one, Lord, who helps us to step away from that stuff. You're the one who helps us to choose life. And I pray that you will help us to choose life. We're going to worship. We're going to sing just a song that I've asked for, which is an old one from the 90s. Draw me close to you. And the chorus just goes, you're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. And let's just take this opportunity to do business with God. If there's stuff you need to just confess before him. If you want prayer, you're welcome to come up. If you want to just come and kneel, that's fine as well. If you want to kneel where you are, whatever is helpful for you in just putting yourself before God and saying, God, I want to choose you. I want my life, Lord, to be a life of true freedom, and that is freedom because I'm surrendered to you. I'm yielded to you, and I'm open to the work of your Spirit in my life. Help me to let go of the stuff of my sinful nature. Help me to lay it down at your feet and to step into true freedom. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, bless you.